Welcome to the Word of Mom Media Network and Word of Mom Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here breaking those myths that mompreneurs and businesswomen are just dabbling in business. We're smart, we're savvy, and we're empowering each other with what we have learned along the journey. Today, I am sharing here in the Tuesday Business Spotlight, Cassandra Dason. She is a recognized Gen X financial consultant, an educator, speaker, and CEO of Minding Your Money. Minding Your Money is what Cassandra specializes in. By focusing on how the emotional awareness can have a direct and lasting impact on one's relationship with money, she provides her audience with practical solutions to help them achieve financial stability, wellness, and wealth. Due to her natural ability to relate to people from all walks of life and her commitment to providing sound financial guidance, Cassandra is the ideal Gen X consultant to work with for corporate trainings and public speaking, financial education and literacy campaigns, and brand partnerships. She's been featured in numerous media outlets, including U.S. World and News Report, Business Insider, Fast Company, Travel Noir, Yahoo Finance and News, and Glamour. Leveraging her personal experiences, financial education, and passion to change how people think about money, Cassandra's dedication to empowering people yields positive results. She's a certified commercial credit analyst, certified financial education instructor, a twice immigrant. She's fluent in French. She was born in Trinidad, raised in Montreal, and lives in Orange Park, Florida right now with her husband. So, wow, Cassandra, what a life. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Thank you so much for having me, Dori. It's a pleasure.
I'm excited to share you, and I want to just jump right in. And what started your journey to lending Minding Your Money?
So a couple of things really precipitated the decision to start this company. I had been working in the field of software engineering as a software project manager for a few years. And although I loved it, I loved working with my teams, I just felt that I wanted to start a new life chapter doing work that really had greater meaning for me personally. And I had been in the personal finance community since back in 2013, and that really was the beginning of my exposure into helping others find real solutions to their financial problems. And it's in part because I actually went through the same experience of having $55,000 of consumer debt that I worked my way through and paid it off and have been successful in maintaining that status. And it takes a lot of things that have to come into play. And the missing ingredient that I just saw over and over again with many people that I've worked with one-on-one or just in general public is the idea of your emotional awareness, your financial mindset, that if you don't have a frame of mind that supports your financial actions and choices, you may succeed for a short time, but more often than not, you end up, you know, starting and stopping because you just don't have the backbone, the foundation mentally to really help sustain your efforts. Because, you know, growing wealth, paying off debt, saving, investing, so many financial demands is challenging, and it's for the long haul, a lot of these decisions, and we just need to ensure that we are properly equipped from a mental perspective to endure and prosper. So that's why I started Minding Your Money, was to really address that gap in the financial world of we need to get our mindset right.
In getting your mindset right, what are there step to even look at to make you aware of where your mindset isn't?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. The first thing is to actually, the problem really that we are trying to fix is using external solutions. So for example, if someone is struggling with, you know, a large amount of debt or a medical issue or whatnot, we typically as humans tend to just seek what is the immediate fix? What can we throw at this problem in order to solve it? And often we haven't stopped to really address the person in the mirror. And what I encourage people to do is actually fit with, I call it fitting with your pain. So really to strip away, take the time to be still and actually evaluate what is going on with you. What are you thinking? What are your beliefs? What were you taught from childhood up when it comes to money that has affected your behavior with it? So it's that opportunity to actually sit still with yourself and start to peel away the layers and begin to understand why you behave with money the way that you do and why are you not seeing the progress that you want to see. So that's the first and most important step. And then the second thing that I ask people to do is once they've uncovered, you know, their emotional truth, as I like to call it, is the next thing to do is that they need to absolve themselves of the mistakes that they've made. And I call that financial redemption. And often and not, you know, we don't really forgive ourselves for a lot. We really put a lot of pressure on ourselves when we make mistakes. And sometimes, yes, they're very, very tragic mistakes, but it's already done. And we have to find a way to work through that pain and work through the feelings that come with it and then let it go in order to be able to move forward and take new actions that support different outcomes. And that's, so those are the two like core tenets that if you don't work through that, you're not going to really make significant progress in your financial life. And I see it over and over again that people want to skip that step because that step is heavy. It's emotionally charged. It can produce feelings and thoughts that you really buried. And you may actually need the help of a counselor or a mental health professional, because for some, there's triggers that come as a result of digging deep and opening your Pandora's box, so to speak.
Wow. How do you personally connect with others using your own emotional wisdom and knowledge and experience?
So it's a combination of a couple of things. First off, I like to listen, you know, because as people speak, their money language comes up. Their patterns and their thoughts, without a doubt, starts to seep into what they're telling me. And they're actually telling me more than they think they are by the terminology that they're using, sometimes body language, sometimes, you know, words of discouragement that or lack of confidence, you know. So what they're saying to me really matters because that helps me to understand the context of who they are. A lot of this is psychological, you know. So that's the first thing I like to ensure that I'm doing is that I'm actually actively listening to them. And then starting to help them zone in on, you know, realizing how they're sounding, how they're talking, even their intonation, how they're dealing with others in terms of their money. Are they reacting inexplicably to just a regular interaction with their husband or their child because they're overburdened or they're financially stressed and they're lashing out at others? So those are just some of the elements that I like to help people to come to terms with and realize that their emotions really are significant and it will reflect themselves in the way that they actually take action with their money and how they behave towards others in relation to money.
Wow. You know, it's amazing just the way that you've really uncovered all of this. It never even occurred to, you know, I'm sure it doesn't occur to most people. It wouldn't occur to me to think, wow, maybe emotion, you know, I mean, I have friends that are bipolar that I've seen mm-hmm. go on huge spending sprees and things like that, but that's completely different.
Right.
You know, so looking at it this way, I mean, I just think that it's a very interesting way that you have come at this. And, you know, being that it is Word of Mom, what can women do to improve their emotional awareness in order to increase their financial stability or wealth or wellness?
I think the first thing foremost is that they have to want and they have to want change. If you really are really fed up of the way things are going for you from a financial perspective and how you are behaving towards your money, you have to really want to desire something completely different in your life. And that means preparing yourself to do the hard work. And as I said, that's often what we run away from is actually, you know, looking inward. So that is the first thing, is to work on a frame of mind that will support success, that will support the goals that you're looking to implement, that really enhances your real desires. And it's the centerpiece of change, is reworking your frame of mind. And then the other things is that, again, learning to assess yourself. And it's something that I actually teach in my signature program that I'll be releasing later this fall. It's called EQ Your Way to Wealth. And it's, you know, actually teaching you from a STEM perspective how to really look at yourself, how to analyze yourself, your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, your threats towards your goals, and how to be able to react and mitigate those potential risks. So I'm not only talking about from an emotional perspective, I'm actually looking to use tangible systems and concepts to, you know, bridge them together so that you can actually achieve the success. So that's something you'd also want to do, assess yourself and assess your situation. Be able to look at your financial situation for what it is and put your emotions to the side, because that often will influence, you know, you start to create anxiety for yourself, stress, you know, blood pressure rises, all these things, and you're now beginning to endanger your financial, your emotional wellness and your physical wellness, because they're all related. You know, I consider it the four pillars of wealth: physical, spiritual, mental, and financial, and they're all intertwined and they're all important. So these are just some of the things that I would encourage women out there to start welcoming and looking at it from a different perspective, how they actually interact with their money, because it really is a relationship. We relate to our money. Money itself is simply a conduit. It's simply a tool. It's our energy. It's our thoughts. It's our emotions. And at the end of the day, our choices that will ultimately direct us in a path where we want to go or not when it comes to our money.
On that note, I want to take a quick break, say thank you to our sponsors, and then we will be back with Cassandra Dasens talking about minding your money here on Word of Mom Radio.
As parents, keeping our school safe is uppermost in our mind. More and more schools are requiring students carrying a clear bag, but that puts the responsibility of keeping our school safe on the backs of our children. Safety Bags has a full line of bags, not only for the students, but for the teachers, the administrators, the sports department, school personnel, and more. Our line of clear bags and backpacks come with a 3-year warranty and can be used to raise funds for your schools and athletic departments nationwide. Please visit us at safetybags.com. You will see why we are the clear choice for your schools, because safety, it's in the bag.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than 1 in 4 children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404 or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
Hey, sports fans, take the hassle out of going to the game with the clear bags from stadiumbags.com. Our crossbody mini messenger bag, stadium-sized backpack, tote bag with different color straps, and ready-to-go travel bag meet the size requirements for pro and college sports. You can find us at stadiumbags.com and get yourself the bags guaranteed to last season after season, because safety, it's in the bag.
And we're back here on Word of Mom Radio in the Tuesday Business Spotlight, shining it on Cassandra Dasens from Minding Your Money. And we've been talking about how our emotions are tied up in what is going on with us financially, or financially, our finances are tied up with our emotions. How does that bridge, you know, which way does the bridge go on that, Cassandra? I'm just...
So it's almost like a symbiotic relationship, but I actually believe that your emotions are actually more powerful because, again, as I mentioned, money is simply, but in of itself, it's a tool. There is nothing. We feed it, you know, with what we want to accomplish with it, with how we perceive ourselves. For example, I made the biggest mistake of my life at a young age to tie my self-worth to my net worth. And I believe that through material success, I was successful. That was a reflection of me as a woman, as a person, that I was successful. And you know, I had to really work hard to break that connection. And when I did make that, you know, aha moment in my head and realize that, oh my goodness, this is not what I want to be. This is not what I want to demonstrate to the world. I had to really unlearn certain behaviors and certain thought patterns that had been established from a really long time in order to say to myself that I want money to serve me. I don't want to serve my money, right? So that is really what I want to help women, people of color, minorities, immigrants to understand, especially that they have power. We have, because it's our mind, we have, that is the only thing that we have the greatest amount of control over in terms of our everyday living, right? So it really is more of a stronger pull towards your emotional state that will impact your financial outcome and decisions.
One of the different things, you know, that you stress and kind of your mandate is that, quote unquote, my mission is to help people from all walks of life go from broke to woke, unquote. I like that.
I'll break it down into two sections. So I'll actually tackle from the end moving back. So broke to woke, what do I mean by that? I mean that you can move from a place where you are literally financially struggling, that you're unstable, and move to a place of woke, which is, you know, being conscious, financially conscious, and being emotionally conscious, because the two together are extremely powerful. Once you have risen to a level in your life where you are the one that is telling your money what to do and how you want to feel as a result of what your money's done for you, that is extremely powerful. Like when you've learn the concept of value-based spending and, you know, not only living below your means, but directing your money in accordance with your values and your beliefs, you know, so that you are positively affecting your life as a result of what you are putting into your thoughts and emotions in relation to money. So broke to woke, that's what I really mean about that. And then the other part of it where it's my mission to help people from all walks of life, personal finance, it is really, as those two words mean, it is truly personal. And each person's situation can vastly differ from myself to yours. And the communities that I especially want to focus on are those that often don't feel like they're being addressed by the standard personal finance information that is being put out there. So, for example, you know, I work with women, Blacks, Hispanics, you know, immigrants who have come here or immigrants who are living in other countries, and they are dealing with sometimes very atypical financial situations that really cannot be solved by cookie cutter measures. And my job is to help them really take into their whole life, you know, not just the money portion, but what's going on in their life that is also perhaps affecting their financial choices and outcomes. It could be that they don't have a supportive partner. You know, one person is really a saver and the other one is they just constantly want to spend. That's the usual dichotomy, you know, the spender versus saver. But then you also have those who are more risk takers. You know, they're good with money, but they like to invest in, you know, high-end financial products, for example, where their spouse or their partner really fears that because they don't have the confidence. So my goal is to really help people who are coming from a place where they don't feel like they're being addressed and spoken to and that they're not being served.
And a good mission, you know, I mean, it's making people aware and helping people get a handle on what is going on in their life financially is a huge commitment. It really is. And in listening to you speak, it's almost, I feel like it's a calling for you, and I applaud you on following your journey to where it's led you. And, you know, like many women, let's face it, you're wearing a bunch of hats. So, you know, in addition to running your business, you're a wife, a long-distance stepmom, and a caregiver to your mom, and a singer-songwriter. How do you manage all of it?
Most days I do pretty well. Some days it's just whatever is the most pressing agenda must take center stage and everything falls to the wayside until I can pick it up the next day. That's being real. You know, I, like probably every other woman out there, you know, we're all pulled in multiple directions, and I, you know, have chosen to not be the super mom. I don't want that title, to be a superwoman. That is just not something I personally aspire to, because it puts such undue pressure for us to perform at constant high levels that you're going to burn out. And I've experienced, you know, living through depression and living through anxiety because I've had to wear all these hats. And I felt that I couldn't disappoint anyone, let alone myself, because my standards also were quite high. And I realized that, you know, my health is precious. It's paramount to me being able to care and provide for others. So if you do not nurture yourself and you do not put yourself up in high regard, you're going to fail yourself ultimately and then fail those that you love. So I do the best that I can. You know, I try to plan my days, and I try not to overbook my time. I really protect my time. I establish boundaries. I know how to say no, and I also know what to say yes to. So that's how I make this work 95% of the time.
You know, it's funny, the thoughts that pop into my head. My cousin Joy once said to somebody who was just like this stressed out high achiever, she said, you know what they call the person in medical school who had the lowest grades in the class? And she was like, no, what? And my cousin looks at her, she's like, doctor.
Okay.
So, you know, think about it.
Yeah.
Do you really, you know, when you, because, and it's true, especially as women, because we have so many things that we have to, you know, we talk about multitasking. I've said it before. It goes back to caveman days. Think about it. You know,
right.
Men were out there hunting the food could kill them. So, of course, they had to pay attention. But here are the women in the cave trying to keep the cave clean and, you know, cook the food that was brought in and keep the kids from falling into the fire and everything else. That we had to learn to do all of these things, and then we tend to put that pressure on ourselves that we just have to be the best at absolutely everything and better than this person and better than that person. And I learned a long time ago, the only person I have to be better than is me. And, you
right.
know, each day.
And then still be kind to you. Right.
Exactly. You know, the only person, it's the only person whose expectations I can live up to are my own. You know, I can't expect somebody else to live up to my expectations or do things the way that I do them. And I think that that's something a lot of times for women that we fall into that trap.
Yeah.
So I applaud you, like I said, for, you know, shifting the way that we're thinking about things and making that, helping people to make that transition. So what's next for Minding Your Money? What are you working on? And you said that you have a signature program coming out.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. And as I said, it's going to be launching later this fall. So make sure to visit my website, CassandraDason.com, and click on the subscribe so you'll stay updated on as this starts to launch. I'm also offering to your listeners a free financial health checklist, really to help people and women know what to focus on, maybe what they haven't thought of, and also congratulate themselves on what they've already started doing with their money. So that's actually, you can find that at CassandraDason.com/checklist. So those are the two main things, but I'm actually going to be kicking up starting a lot of speaking engagements in July through the end of August. So I'll be attending a couple of live in-person retreats, namely one is the Lola Retreat in Seattle, Washington in August 17th to 18th, I believe. And I'm also speaking in Ottawa, Canada on August 10th, talking about how to break limiting beliefs. So I'm really excited about getting on the road and doing a lot of, you know, requested webinars for a lot of different groups. So that's definitely a huge part of what I'm doing. And soon I'll be working with, in partnership with United Way, their Real Sense program. So I will be here on the ground locally, helping my community to better manage their finances through financial education and wellness. So that's what's coming up soon.
Fabulous. What a way to end the interview. Everybody, like Cassandra said, you can find her on her website, Cassandra Dason, CassandraDason.com, and then go to /checklist and get that free checklist. Thank you for the gift.
Yeah, of course.
I really appreciate you taking the time to share with us here on Word of Mom Radio. And we should actually talk, we should film a segment with you for Word of Mom TV next time we're down in Florida. So
I'd love it. Thank you for having me, and I wish your listeners only the best, and, you know, stay hopeful and stay positive with whatever it is that you're doing.
On that note, this is Dori DiCarlo. We're closing out with Smith Sisters Bluegrass and our fabulous theme song, She Is You. Until next time, go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
She is sure. She is strong. She is